two other men. Oh, sorry. today's reading is from Luke 23, verses 32 to 34, and then 39 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came out to the place called the Skull, there they were crucified, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Please help us now, our Heavenly Father, to come to your word, remembering with reverent awe that you are the speaking God and that you're the saving God. And we're reminded that the scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So please help us this morning not to be foolish, but to be wise in your eyes. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why Good Friday? David's actually already mentioned that. Why Good Friday? This picture actually was painted by Jane Cotton, dear Jane, who died earlier, a few weeks ago, and she painted about 15 years ago, and I was looking through my visual aids, and there it was. And it might have been something like this. Every picture is limited. It's great to hear the word of God this morning. And one of the things that I said the other day when thinking about the arrest of Jesus was that when Jesus was arrested, he said, this is your hour when darkness reigns. Incredibly significant thing to say. And why is it Good Friday? I mean, Jesus says that darkness reigns as he's arrested and as he goes to an unjust trial and as he dies on the cross. In fact, lots of people debate and argue why it's called Good Friday. Some people think actually if you drop the O out, it's God's Friday. I think it's more likely it's called Good Friday because, of course, it's a day of great blessing. And one of the things I said when we thought about Jesus being arrested, Jesus said that darkness reigned, and darkness and evil and sinners did their worst thing as Jesus was arrested and went to the cross. You cannot get anything worse, can you, than to kill the Son of God? I don't think there can be anything worse than that, than to kill the Son of God. But of course, as sinners and evil and darkness was doing the worst thing, God did the best thing, the greatest thing. Why Good Friday? Because, of course, God was doing the best thing, the very greatest thing that he could do. And we've got some verses from, and it'd be great if you had the service sheet because I just want us to glance down at God's word. The story of two criminals, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. So think of all that Jesus has gone through already. Unjust trials, suffering. He's been mocked and insulted and hit and beaten. Look what he says. I'll read from 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Don't you find that extraordinary? Amazing? That Jesus says, forgive them. From the cross. Why doesn't he say, judge them? Isn't that what we'd expect? The Son of God being killed, an unjust trial, mocked, insulted, beaten, crucified on a cross. He says from the cross, forgive them. But surely he should say, judge them. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that amazing? And of course, we know too that there were people shouting, save yourself. Indeed, just look at what one of the criminals says, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. There were others who were saying that as well. Save yourself. We're going to see that, of course, Jesus could save himself. He could have come off the cross. He could have summoned a million angels and brought down God's holy, righteous wrath, his judgment on everyone else. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't, because only by staying on the cross could he save you and I, who are sinners. You see, the question is, how can God forgive and not judge? Because that's what you and I deserve as sinners. How can God forgive and not judge? It's very clear that God is going to judge sinful men and women. The Bible's absolutely clear from beginning to end that that will happen. But how can God forgive and not judge? How can Jesus say, forgive them from the cross? Well, let's think of these criminals who were crucified with Jesus, because they can teach us a lot. There we have Jesus, we have criminal one, and criminal two. Let's just read again what happens. Already we've read criminal one hurls insults at the Son of God. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal, verse 40, rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. So let's build up a picture from what those verses say. We know that Jesus did nothing wrong. That's what criminal one says, doesn't he? But this man has done nothing wrong. And we know that Jesus loved God and people perfectly. He loved God perfectly. He loved his heavenly Father perfectly. He loved his neighbor perfectly. He loved his enemies perfectly. Sometimes you get people say, well, I love people. Yeah, but do you love your neighbor, your enemy, as you love yourself? Of course, we fall miles short of that. Criminal one had done lots wrong. We know from other gospels that these two are thieves. And they certainly hadn't loved God and people. And they're being punished for their wrongdoing, for sin. And rightly so. So two criminals and one person, the Lord Jesus, who'd done nothing wrong, who'd loved God and people perfectly, hanging on a cross. And in the story, criminal two, look, he insults Jesus, doesn't he? It says it very clearly. He insults Jesus. One of the criminals who hung there, verse 39, hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. And really, what he's saying is he can't save. It's mockery, isn't it? It's insulting. But also, he doesn't want to be saved. Whereas criminal one, look what he says. He recognizes, doesn't he, that he's being punished justly, that he's getting what his deeds deserve. He recognized that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And he then says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He trusts King Jesus to save. He recognizes something about Jesus as he dies on the cross, that he is God's King who can save. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's an extraordinary statement of faith, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to say. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He trusts King Jesus to save. And Jesus replies wonderfully, doesn't he? I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. He receives eternal life. How on earth can that be given, that eternal life? His sin is forgiven. The Bible consistently says that what happens on the cross is that it's Jesus who is punished for our sin. He's being punished unjustly, but he is the one who bears our sins upon himself. And wonderfully, because he bears our sins on the cross and is punished for our sin, criminal one can receive eternal life and have his sin forgiven. And amazingly, as we've been reminded, there is an extraordinary swap. It's as if he's done nothing wrong. It's a picture of every single sinner who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who takes our sin upon himself. Other parts of Scripture say he became sin for us. He bore our sin upon himself. He was punished for our sins. And there is this extraordinary swap that he takes our sin upon himself, so that criminal can be forgiven, we can be forgiven if we recognize and trust who Jesus is. And our sin is forgiven, and actually God sees us as those who've done nothing wrong, amazingly. So let me ask you this morning, which are you? Which are you? two pictures of two different types of sinner. One sinner who recognises they're a sinner, but who trusts King Jesus to save. Sins are forgiven and receives eternal life. All because of Jesus' death, that he becomes sin and is punished for our sin. Or are you the criminal too, who just says, doesn't recognise who Jesus is, that he can't save and doesn't want saving? How foolish to be that person. How wise to receive what God longs to give to us through Jesus. Of course, this is a wonderful picture of being given mercy and grace. And as we sing many times, mercy is not getting what we deserve. We do deserve the judgment of God for our sin. But mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is being given what we don't deserve. And this criminal and every sinner who trusts King Jesus to save receives grace, eternal life, and many blessings in Christ. I gave out some envelopes to some young people. Could you open your envelope? I even gave that one to one or two adults. Sophie, what is it? It's a £5 gift voucher, a free gift for 10 of those. Just a free gift. I wanted to give, and I've given. That's what grace is, a free gift. Undeserved. And of course, that is what God is doing at the cross. He's giving mercy so we don't get what we deserve, and then grace, a gift that we don't deserve. Eternal life and a right relationship with God and a right standing with God. So it's as if we've done nothing wrong. Isn't that marvellous? Don't be like criminal two, the unforgiven sinner, who rather than receiving eternal life, goes to eternal death and eternal punishment. How foolish that is. This is all about God's love, his grace, his mercy that he longs to give. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this great day, Good Friday, when we remember your great love in sending your one and only Son to die for our sins, to be punished for our sins, so that we might be forgiven and receive eternal life and have a right standing with you. However much we've heard these things before, however familiar we are with them, please write them on our heart. And please help us to be like that first criminal, that first thief, who recognizes King Jesus and turns to him and asks him to remember him and save him. So please help us to trust King Jesus this day, the one who can save us and give us eternal life. And we thank you and praise you for your love and mercy and grace to us in the Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.